Ever feel like you're scrolling and scrolling through those news feeds, just bombarded with information about all these, important social issues, but then like you don't really absorb any of it? Totally. Where you're not alone. It's like we're drowning in headlines, you know? And that's exactly why this deep dive is so important. Today we're going deep on a topic that deserves way more than just a glance at a headline. We're talking about the frustrations that Black Gen Xers are facing, specifically when it comes to racial equality. So we'll be breaking down this powerful piece called The Ongoing Struggle, Black Gen Xers, and the Persistent Impediments to Racial Equality. Think of this deep dive as like our attempt to cut through all that noise, all those headlines, and really understand why, for this generation, the road to equality, well, it's felt more like a roadblock, to be honest. One of the first things that really jumped out at me in this piece was how it highlights the lasting impact, the long shadow of historical racism. It's easy to think about things like redlining as something from the past, something that's over. But the reality is it has this way of echoing into the present. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And it's fascinating, how something like redlining, which was officially outlawed decades ago, can still be having such a profound impact on wealth and opportunity today. Like, we're talking about a huge, a staggering, really racial wealth gap, where you see, I think some studies say the median wealth of Black families is a fraction of that of white families. And this isn't just like some random thing. It's a direct result of policies like redlining that basically systematically, locked Black families out of homeownership. And homeownership is like often the most significant driver of wealth creation in this country. Just imagine, generations of your family being denied the opportunity to build equity in a home, to pass that wealth down. That's a hurdle that continues to affect Black communities even now.
That's really powerful. And this piece, it doesn't stop there, right? It connects this whole historical context to the systemic racism that we see woven through so many aspects of our society.
Systemic racism, it's like, the invisible architecture that can be holding up inequality, even when you don't see that outward, overt discrimination. Take the criminal justice system, for instance. Black Americans are disproportionately represented at every single stage of that system, from how many are arrested to the disparities in sentencing.
It's like this deep embedded bias in the system itself.
Precisely. And it's not even just about, individual biases that people hold. It's about how policies and practices can end up perpetuating these inequities, often without even mentioning race
It's
directly.
almost sneakier in a way.
Think about like the algorithms they use now for like loan applications. Even if you don't have race as like a direct factor, those algorithms, they can still reflect and amplify existing racial biases that are already in things like credit scores or even just your zip code.
It's like they're designed to solve the problem, but they're actually making it worse.
Ultimately perpetuating the very disparities they should be trying to fix.
Okay, so we're talking about a problem that's way bigger than any one person or even any one law, right? And if this deeply ingrained systemic racism isn't a big enough barrier already, the source then points to this really concrete problem, political resistance to change. The example that I think really struck me was the Voting Rights Act. I mean, it felt like this incredible leap forward, and yet
And yet we see how fragile progress can be. The weakening of the Voting Rights Act back in 2013, and then what followed the surge in voter suppression tactics all across the country that so often disproportionately target communities of color, it just highlights how easily those steps toward equality can be rolled back.
it's a stark reminder that we can't let our guard down, that achieving lasting change is going to take constant vigilance. And this whole idea of political resistance, it's not just about voting, right? As the source points out, it also plays a huge role in the economic disparities that Black Gen Xers face. I mean, they came of age when so many policies were framed as colorblind, but in reality,
In reality, those very policies often just completely failed to address these deep entrenched inequalities that were already there. And the source doesn't hold back, Like it calls this widening wealth gap between Black Americans and white Americans, it straight up calls it a stark indictment of failed promises.
You know, it's interesting because I've heard some people say that if we could just focus on making opportunities equal, then that wealth gap would just naturally resolve itself. What this source seems to be saying is it's not that simple.
You absolutely have to address the historical context, the systemic barriers that are actually limiting access to those very opportunities in the first place. I mean, it's like trying to run a race where some people are starting like yards behind the starting line, Even with equal effort, the playing field's just not even.
And it's not even just about like these huge systemic barriers, right? The source dives into something so much more subtle, but like just as insidious, you know?
Yeah.
This idea of implicit bias.
Right.
It's something I think we all kind of struggle with, even if we don't even realize it.
Oh, absolutely. Implicit bias. It's like that friend, you know, that swears up and down they're not judgmental, but then like someone walks by in a hoodie and they like clutch their purse a little tighter.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's those totally unconscious associations our brains make, often because of like societal stereotypes that can just totally influence how we see things, how we act, without us even knowing.
So we're not talking about outright prejudice here. This is like way more ingrained, harder to even be aware of.
Yeah.
Can you give like an example? How would implicit bias play out in the experiences of Black Gen Xers specifically?
Well, you could look at the job market, right? I mean, studies have shown that even when resumes are like completely identical in terms of qualifications, the ones with names that sound, you know, more like quote unquote black sounding names, those get way fewer callbacks than the ones with white sounding names.
Wow.
And it's not necessarily that these employers are like consciously racist. It's just those implicit biases, you know, creeping in, affecting their decisions without them even knowing it.
It's like it's happening on autopilot, which is kind of a scary thought.
Yeah.
And the source points out that it's not even just hiring, right? This comes up in places like healthcare, which is, that's really unsettling.
Absolutely. There's been a ton of research on how implicit bias can actually affect the way medical professionals diagnose and treat their patients. Like, there are studies that show that Black patients are less likely to get adequate pain management compared to white patients.
Really?
Even when they have the same symptoms.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really striking.
It's just like subtly undermining trust in like these critical institutions, right? Like when you need them most.
Totally. And this actually leads perfectly into what the source argues is the final major barrier to true equality: lack of accountability. When racism, whether it's that systemic kind or that more implicit kind, when it just goes unchecked over and over, it erodes trust, it creates the sense of powerlessness, and it makes it that much harder for people to believe that things can ever really change.
Yeah. And the example they use, I think, is one that really just shook everyone: the killing of George Floyd.
Right.
It wasn't just this horrific isolated incident, you know, it was about this pattern of a system that just too often fails to hold itself accountable.
Exactly. The source makes the point that like this lack of accountability in cases of, say, police brutality, it just sends this really chilling message that, you know, Black lives are valued less. It reinforces this idea that justice just isn't applied equally. And it fuels those frustrations and that trauma that, frankly, Black Gen Xers have been carrying around for decades.
So it's not just about individual acts of racism. It's about the systems that allow those acts to just keep happening without any consequences. That feels like a really important distinction.
It is, absolutely. And the source makes it clear that to address this, we need systemic change. It calls for legal frameworks that are more robust, investigations that are actually transparent when something like this happens, and like really consistently enforcing anti-discrimination laws. We have to create a system that doesn't just like acknowledge when a wrong has been done, but that actively works to dismantle the structures that allowed that to happen in the first place.
It's a lot. It's a lot to think about. As we've like gone through all of this, I just keep thinking back to that title, The Ongoing Struggle. It feels so relevant, honestly, to everything we've talked about. We started this whole deep dive because we wanted to understand those frustrations that are unique to Black Gen Xers when it comes to, you know, the fight for racial equality. And it's so clear from our conversation that their experiences have been shaped by this, like this whole web of historical legacies, systemic barriers,
right,
political resistance, economic disparities, you know,
it's a lot.
Implicit bias.
Yeah.
And then just like this lack of accountability.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're all tangled up. You can't pull them apart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's that interconnectedness that makes this such a difficult issue to even talk about, to address. But it's also exactly why it's so crucial to be looking at it from that like holistic perspective.
Oh.
You miss the whole picture if you're just zeroing in on one piece of the puzzle.
100%.
Yeah.
So where do we go from here? I mean, we've talked about the challenges, the barriers, all of it. But I think the biggest question I'm left with at the end of this whole deep dive is, what does meaningful change actually look like? How do we even make that happen?
That is the $1 million question. And the honest answer is there isn't some easy answer out there, right? Like there's no one solution, no magic wand that's going to erase centuries of inequality. But I do think that the source, it gives us a place to start, you know, by pointing out that we need change on two levels. the individual level and then the systemic level.
Okay.
So on an individual level, like each of us is being challenged to examine our own biases, like really think about those, to educate ourselves, you know, about the history of racism, the realities of it that are still happening, and then to actually use our voices, use whatever platform we have to advocate for change.
It's about recognizing that every single one of us has a role to play here, right?
Yeah.
In dismantling even the most subtle forms of racism.
Exactly. And then on that systemic level, it's about pushing for policy changes, but like really getting to the root causes of inequality, whether that's, you know, fighting for equitable funding for schools in Black communities, or it's demanding that institutions like law enforcement, the criminal justice system, all of that, that they're more accountable, more transparent.
So it's about those personal actions, but also about these bigger, like, systemic shifts that could create a more just and equitable society for everybody.
Yes, exactly. And that's the conversation I think we all really need to be having right now. How do we move beyond just saying, yeah, racism is bad, you know? How do we actually create solutions? How do we take awareness and turn it into action, into real change? And ultimately, you know, how do we get to a future where Black Gen Xers and honestly all the generations after them, how do we get to a place where they can finally truly experience equality? That's what I hope you're thinking about as we wrap up this deep dive.